Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. 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 Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my room. See, that's my roster. You know, I just been parsed up. I've been high, my shit been parsed up. I've been high, my shit been
parsed. All right. Happy Tuesday. Oh, my. Now. See, now I really feel like, how did it become Tuesday already? I really didn't realize today was Tuesday. I really thought it was like, I don't even know. It does not feel like Tuesday. Hello, is anybody there?
Happy Tuesday.
I'm here.
Forget about Tuesday. That it's been 2 weeks. That's just almost impossible.
That's what I meant. I meant that it's been 2 weeks. I can't believe that it's been 2 weeks. I really feel like we were just on here talking. That this is probably the fastest one for me. I don't know. It felt like the fastest one for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just realized that doesn't sound like daddy to me.
I know, you know, every now and then I chime in.
Oh, excuse me, look at you. Look at you being part of the show. And it's funny because I think that the picture still has you and Haru's picture in the little corner. It says, like, guest appearances. And it has your picture really little in the bottom.
That's funny. This is my guest appearance.
There you go.
Oh, man. Well, it's February also. I don't even know how that happened. It was just 2020. I don't know what's going on. It's just moving too fast for me.
I know.
I remember Mom used to say that when we were younger. Oh, shoot. Pisces in the house. Crazy people. Almost
Pisces season. Almost. Shout out to my fellow Pisces.
Boy. Oh, boy. Everybody's going to put their pocketbooks away. Everybody's going to put away their wallet.
I know most people think Scorpios are the best, but I hate to break it to you. Pisces are the best.
Nope.
You're lucky that I like the Pisces that I know. I don't know.
If you know Scorpio, run the other direction. They're crazy. Don't say nothing to them.
Listen. Both of our parents are Scorpios, and my kid is a Scorpio.
Too much for me. Too much
for
me.
At one time. Imagine how I feel when I'm in the car with all three of them. Oh boy.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
I tell Christian, I'm like Christian, you just come back. You just come back when you are in a better mood. I'll just leave you to your feelings. And he's nine. Like, I'm just going to, I can only imagine when he becomes an adult.
Good luck.
Hey, good luck to you, too. He's your nephew.
Nope. I'm going to ban him. I'm going to put his face up on a poster.
Yeah, right.
The person is not allowed in the
room. Yeah, right. Sure.
He's a nut.
Talking about a nut. I hear another nut in the background. Talk about a nut.
He is a complete nut.
I hear that nut.
He has been trying to get my attention all night long. I can't give him enough attention.
Oh,
he's
the
a nut.
Baby.
Like, he's not a
baby.
He's about to be one next month. He's going to be one.
I know.
Don't yell at me. Don't you see me on the phone?
He's like, don't talk about me. Whoa. And you see you almost never hear mine. Ever.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, because
whenever
Carol
I hear his little bark, yeah. Oh, thank you. Whenever I hear his little bark, I'm like, who is doing that little bark?
I heard him Farrell bark for the first time when they were playing the other day. I've never heard Farrell bark.
You will
That's
not
my
hear
big boy.
Him. You won't hear him. Oh, you're lucky he can't hear. He'd be wagging his tail off the phone. Like, Calm down.
We have fun together.
Oh, yeah, he's fun. He's a boatload of fun. You hear his squeaks, that's him. Because he just figured out that, he figured out that his toys can squeak. So now he's like, squeak, 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 squeak. Whoa. So I guess he heard his. he heard the food container. Oh, my goodness. And he ran in here like a bull. Like he's just charging at me just because he heard his food container. Sir, there's no
That's
food
right. There. Feed me.
You just ate. He just ate. Happy
That's a big boy. That's a growing boy.
Listen, the alarm goes off at 7 o'clock and he knows his ringtone. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever been here when it went off?
No. No. I think
no matter where he
it.
Is, his head pops up and he's like, whoop, whoop, and he runs. He knows the ringtone now because I have the alarm set.
That's funny.
Sir, you just ate.
I saw him eat that in 0.2 seconds, a big bowl of food. I saw
Man.
Him devour that.
Man, listen. Imagine in a couple of months. He's
Good
still,
luck.
He's sitting here looking at me. Sir, I'm on a business call. I'm on a business phone call, sir. I love him. There's nothing like you don't realize how much you're going to love them because they're animals. But then once you get it, it's just like, oh, my God, I love him. Like, he's part of my family. But you got to get one to experience it because they're just amazing.
Yeah, no, they are.
Yes, I'm talking
as
about
much
you.
As much as this nut is crazy. he's
he
a pretty
is
fun
so
nut.
Funny. He's a lot of fun.
Eating applesauce. I bet you if I break out an applesauce, nothing will come out. He's just looking at me like, can I get some applesauce?
Just open the jar and let it sit there while you're talking.
No, then he'll really get upset. How are you gonna taunt me?
Everybody's listening like this is not what we were talking about this week. You know, y'all know we get sidetracked. You know that we cannot and I haven't heard Daddy's voice. Daddy, you there?
I'm here. You know the value
Mommy
of these conversations. Yeah, well, once I said hello, family. Mama took over after that, so I said, "Let me take a back seat. Let's just take her place." But you know, the value of these conversations, I think, more than anything else. Like I always tell both of you, I'm privately, but I'm saying it publicly now. I've probably said it publicly before. Is that this is a family conversation?
Yeah.
You know, this is what you know. This is a people know that this wasn't planned and. We're not profiling. We're not trying to get cute words in and things like that. This is a family conversation, which will have its value in 50 years. Its greatest value will be when Caress and all of your future children will be our age. And they'll look back.
Oh, they'll be so happy to listen.
Well, it will be very important. And we don't realize it when we're younger because we're moving through so quickly. Life is moving through so quickly. Sasha, you're trying to get yourself together. Kanda K, you're doing your thing. Haru is doing his thing. But when you get to a certain place and you look back, you understand the value of some of the things that you have. You know, like I always tell you, like I got a vault of video cassettes and audio cassettes that will let you know what I was doing when you were all children.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you even before some of you were born. Say what?
Yeah. Yep.
No, what you do is that you but by that time you can convert them. How I got on YouTube was because people converted my video cassettes.
Yep, that's true.
You know, there were people that had videotaped me through the years, like Reverend Clemson Brown, who is the videographer of videographers. And he videotaped everything and everybody that he felt was important. in terms of the cultural revolution of his time, which would have been in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even beyond. And when you see those, when you see those videotapes, even though they're not the best quality, it gives you a insight into that golden age. So what these conversations right here, yeah, the value of these conversations that we're having is that this is a family conversation, and it happens to be me.
True.
And if you wanted to get into my head, for people who know me and understand the work that I do, to get into my head, it's all about this type of conversation that tells you who I really am.
But it's also about just being able to have a conversation. It's funny because one of my clients today, we were just talking about that comfort of being able to even have the most, you know, minuscule sort of conversation about feelings or about just, you know, a conversation that doesn't deal with like right or wrong, good or bad. It's just the ability to have these sort of conversations is essential in being able to feel that comfort in expressing how you feel, first and foremost to your family, because those are the ones that you come across first, but also in life. How do you communicate with friends? How do you communicate with other family, extended family members? How do you communicate at your job? You know, it all is based on the foundation. Yeah. But it's all based on that.
My job.
Well, you have to understand how to communicate with somebody. You got to understand how to communicate, you know, and what communication is and different ways of communicating and, you know, being welcome into the real world. I know, you know, Daddy used to have conversations with us, and I'd be like, well, why is this person acting like this? Because I was so used to non-savage behavior within the household. And Daddy used to respond, welcome to the real world. You know, not everything is going to be black and white or it's not going to be how it is in this household. So, you know, you have to learn how to adapt. And that is the best ability, is to be able to communicate my feelings and adapt for different individuals and do it in a healthy and happy way.
People need to take a lesson in that now, because after 2020, this quarantine has ruined people's ability to communicate. It's ruined people's ability to be around other people. Like,
it's hard, though. It's hard, especially for kids who are experiencing it. It affects adults because, you know, it affects everybody that's involved, but it affects children even more because they're learning how to socialize. And then socialization, quote unquote, was taken from them because this is called, you know, the quarantine, the isolation, the you know, it's, what is it called? Social isolation or something like that. It shouldn't be called
social isolation.
Social distancing. It shouldn't be called social distancing, because to be social does not necessarily mean you have to be there in person. Like, kids still should be communicating with others via phone or internet or FaceTime or Skype or Zoom, just to keep that socialization. But because it is what it is, it's very hard for kids to even understand what that is, because they're so used to being able to see people in person, and now it's more so, no, you have to talk to grandma over Zoom or Skype or, you know, and it's not the same, because you get that love and that affection and that hugging, you know, but you can still communicate, and it still can be, you know, a socialization that you're experiencing.
But, you know, for kids, I can't even imagine, like, because like, young kids and teenagers, like, I can't even imagine. I don't care how much you like your parents. When you're a teenager, there is nothing like getting out of your parents' house and going to and being in high school. Like, I love you guys,
but I loved being in high school. Like, there's nothing, and I can't even imagine being a teenager and not being able to go and socialize with my friends because I'm stuck at home. Like, I can't even imagine how that feels. We're all going to need some serious therapy. But kids have it the worst because also we're still expecting them to behave themselves and get good grades. And it's so stressful for me because Christian, like, I want him to be great, but he's still a human being. Like, being sitting in front of a computer and staring at boxes and having to learn that way is just a very interesting experience. And I always have to step back and remember that if I am stressed out as an adult who is supposed to be capable of doing certain things, I can't even imagine how it feels to be a kid and have to deal with that and have to go through that. And you remind me, Daddy, of that all the time. Because I'm still a parent, like, I want him to do well, and I want him to get great grades and everything, but it's not the easiest thing for all the kids. And you always remind me that even if it seems like it's not going the way I want it to, for the situation, he's doing an amazing job. And I think that we all need to remember that when it comes to our kids and what they're going through now.
There's no question. And, you know, as I observe him, because, you know, we hang out every week, and when it was really bad and we were all concerned about COVID, we used to meet on Thursdays on Zoom. We'd have a class, and I'd talk to him about school. We had a little exercise moment.
Right.
Where we would exercise, you know, and then he would show me different YouTube. You know, he said, look, Grandpa, look at this. And that would be me speaking somewhere. Or he'd show me something that Haru had done. But those moments of what we have to do with the children is talk to them. But more importantly, let them talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
When this was first at the highest point, I said to Caress, I said, and by the way, Caress and Christian, same person. I just call him Caress because I give both nicknames.
Yeah.
And Caress is where Christian came from anyway. So. But
right, exactly.
I used to say to him, you know, I said, you know, what do you think about what's going on? And his response was probably one of the most intelligent, and an adult couldn't have given me a better response. He said, it feels weird.
Right.
You know, when I asked him, what do you think? He didn't tell me what he thought. He told me what he
felt.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is. This is not just what you think. Because if you think about it, it could drive you crazy. It's what you feel. And then from there, I began to build a conversation around his feeling to let him know that, and we have to tell this to our young people, it's going to be all right. We're going to go through some stuff. And the innocent will be hurt. Tell him the truth. The innocent will be hurt. There will be people who we may love that may become ill. But when all is said and done, we've been through worse. We'll get through this. Hopefully the better for having experienced it. Because the other thing, y'all remember what I used to say when you used to tell me something that happened that wasn't good. My first question to you is, what did you learn?
What did you learn?
Because
that's the first thing that just came to my head just now.
You know, winners never lose. You know, you don't lose. You either win or you learn. But you don't lose. You don't lose when you don't succeed. You lose when you don't try.
You don't try.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. There's an echo going on here.
That means that we're
paying
attention.
I feel like I'm in the mountains.
It means that we're paying attention.
It's so true. Mm-hmm.
You know, that,
have I ever
that
told
is
you the
how
story?
We have... There we go.
About anything. About anything.
Look, it's so funny because I literally use that for everything. I'm like, I use that dog story and that snake story.
I use that. You can't use the snake story because that's like 90% of the people that you know. You can't even use the snake story. You're probably talking to the snake when you're telling the story.
Yeah, but
you know what's interesting about
that
snake story is
snake.
Donald Trump made it very famous. But You know, it's interesting about what he did. It's very interesting about what he did. And that's why it's so important that when things happen, we can judge it, we can put it in its place, but also measure the impact it has. For instance, that snake story. There was a brother, Oscar Brown Jr. He was one of the original rap artists. Did you just Google his name, Oscar Brown Jr.? Years ago, he used to come to New York, and he used to hit the jazz spots, particularly where I lived. He used to hit a spot, for those that may know what I'm talking about, New York, back in the 70s, 80s. There were jazz clubs in the 90s in Midtown Manhattan where I lived. I lived on 94th. Within a two-block area of where I lived, there was a jazz club called Mikkel's. There was a jazz club called Russ Brown. There was Under the Stairs, and there was the Cellar. And Oscar Brown Jr., I believe he lived in Chicago. I'm not sure, but I think he lived in Chicago. But he used to come to these jazz spots, and like when he'd come to New York, he could hit all four jazz spots in a week, give or take. And he'd be at every one. And whenever Oscar Brown gave up a very lucrative career to speak his mind. He was one of the original rap artists, if you want to look at it like that.
That sounds like somebody. That sounds like somebody else.
Who that sounds like?
You. You.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to drop the song on me tonight. I wasn't quite sure. But, yeah, it's true. No. But, again, I did not reach the – and I was more like into radio and mixing and doing a lot of that. But I used to see him all the time, and he always did that song about the snake. When the 45th, if I may call him the former president, told that story.
Can we get an annulment?
His daughters contacted me because word got out that what Donald the 45th had done really was the work of an African-American poet and singer.
Plagiarism.
Wow.
And they called me because they were invited to be on CNN and MSNBC to talk about their father.
Huh.
Now, I was telling you that story when you were little girls. Little girls. And now here we are. And the 45th literally made Oscar Brown Jr. famous. Made him famous with his daughters coming on. They were on one night at CNN. They were on another night at MSNBC. And they called me because they had come to my presentations when I went to Chicago. They had followed my work. Their father was aware of my work. I never got a chance to talk to him, so to speak, about this. But I used to talk to him all the time when he would come to the clubs. So I knew him. I wouldn't say, you know, I was like somebody going to hear him perform. But I always took my opportunity to go up and talk to the brother and tell him certain things because he was dynamic. And I'm encouraging us, you know, young rappers, young people in the music, check out Oscar Brown Jr. If you want to see where your stuff came from, understand what Oscar Brown Jr. was doing back then. And he was willing to give up his career in order to do this. He was very successful, but he could have been far more successful had he ate the king's meat and danced to the king's tune.
Mm.
But he refused. He refused. Now, I say that also because it's... Yeah, well, that's the key. You have to make a decision in your life. Because there was a time I was moving in that direction. But when I saw that world, I said, oh, no. Ain't no way anybody going to carve a hole in my head and put a diamond up in my head where my pineal gland is supposed to be.
Why?
That's the other thing. You see, you know what he doesn't. You know what a lot of folk don't realize is that there's a reason why there's a black dot. When you look at people from India, and you see the black dot, or you see the blue dot, or whatever color dot
that's
they have in their forehead, that's the third eye. But the thing is that the darkness of that circle is meant to attract and capture light and heat energy to be able to go through to the pineal gland. But when you put
really
a diamond,
why they have it.
Well, you know, there's many reasons why they have it, but I'm just offering you one. The same way when you see people that are playing sports and they have the black lines under their eye, well,
mm-hmm.
that's to capture light and heat energy so that it doesn't go into your eye. That's why the Egyptians used to have their makeup around their eyes in order to avoid the hot sun of Kemet or Egypt go directly into their eye. The darkness around their eye makeup captures and attracts the sun's light so it doesn't go into your eye.
That's interesting.
Oh, it's science. And that's why you see baseball players, football players have those black marks like on their cheek, between their cheek and their eye. And that's in order for the sunlight to go there instead of in your eye.
Okay.
So that if you carve a hole in your head and put the
cut out your third eye,
one of the hardest, it blocks the sunlight from going into your pineal gland.
I mean, he's not too smart.
To you before he did this.
Yeah,
he should have had a comment. But you see, blessings on my young people. I have much respect, and I think for our elders. And again, this is why this conversation is so important, is because we as a family have always had an open conversation. We always talk to each other. But there has been an absence of a conversation between the elder and the younger for a couple of decades, give or take, for whatever reason. And young people don't think they need to hear from the elders because they say, well, where you been all my life? Where were you when I was 4 and 5 looking for someone that I could talk to? And now all of a sudden you're up here telling me what I should do? So I understand our problem. We have to start to talk to our young people, have open conversation. Your mama still blamed me for the verbosity of my children. She says, 'cause of me, because we used to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Even when you were in strollers.
And we still do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why. Because I was talking to you when you were in a stroller. When I had you in that little thing that you put on and you carried a baby, you know, in front of you. I was talking to you then. I said, oh, look at the trees over there. And look, the trees have leaves and the leaves are green. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're like about 8 months old. And you looking up at me and wondering. But you heard my voice.
That's how you start that communication.
Well, I started it when your mother was carrying you, because I used to talk to her her stomach. I said, how you doing today? And you were in her womb. So, conversation with our young people. Talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not your children. Just talk to them. And let them know that, hey, how you doing? That's all. You don't have to drop no knowledge on them and go through anything. Just say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize them. That's what respect means. Ra means to look in a divine way. Spec means to look.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them in a divine way. Just talk to them. How you doing today? Don't put yourself in harm's way, because some folks you could get in trouble if you talk to them. But I'm just saying, you know, just, hey, what's going on? How you doing? To me, it's un-African not to talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just what we do. When you go down south, you go to the Caribbean, you deep inside African people. You know, I remember my father. I always tell the story. My father one time was talking to this. I was young. I was maybe 6 or 7. My father, your grandfather, was talking to this man. And they were laughing and talking and all sorts of, you know, conversation. Talked about 15 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, my father said, please tell me, what's your name? And afterwards, and the man told him his name. Afterwards, I said, Daddy, like, you were talking to that man all that time. I said, did you know him? He said, no, that's the first time I ever met him.
Mm-hmm.
My father was talking to the man like they were Ace Boons from back in the day.
That's funny.
That's Africa. That is what African people do. It's a person-to-person relationship. And that's what we've lost sometimes amongst ourselves. But Kandike, you're right. Because even if we do it on Zoom, it still preserves the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. You miss the hug. You miss the handshake. You miss all the other things that go in when you're person to person. But it's the best we can do under the conditions that we are.
Yeah.
And if this had come 30, 40 years ago, we would be in trouble because there wasn't no Zoom back
mm-hmm.
then.
Right.
So crazy. But, you know, that's where we are. Luckily, we have the technology. We just have to think outside the box and just be creative.
Bottom line. And
yeah.
do the best
we
can.
Yeah, well, what we have.
That's it. And that's all you'll ever be held accountable for. Anything past
mm-hmm.
your best is stress.
It's stress.
And stress,
will kill you.
Right.
I know. Yep. I bear witness to watching people who died
mm-hmm.
through stress. It weakens your immune system. When your immune system is weakened, anything can get in.
Mm-hmm. It's true. But, yeah, so today's topic.
So
we
can play a song to introduce it and then come back if you want to.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Let's play a song that has to do with kind of what we talk, kind of what we're talking about. Okay, we'll be right back.
Daddy, what's a will?
Yeah. Take those monies and spread across families. My sister Hattie and Lou, the nephews, cousins, and TT. Eric, the rest of B for whatever she wants to do. She might start an institute. She might put poor kids in school. My stake in Rock Nation should go to you. Leave a piece for your siblings to give to their children too. Title to champagne, do say I'd like to see a nice piece, fund ideas for people who look like we. We gon' start a society within society. That's major. It's like the Negro League. There was a time America wouldn't let us fall. Those times are now back. It's now called Afrotech. Generational wealth, that's the key. My parents ain't have shit, so that shift started with me. My mom took her money, she bought me bombs. That was the sweetest thing of all time, Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellence, baby, you gon' let them see. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellency, baby, let them see. I remember, like, listening to Wu-Tang. And they say, yo, see, marry his see, marry my see. That's how we keep Carter money all in the family. You see, my father, son of a preacher man, whose daughter couldn't escape the reach of the preacher's hand. That charge of energy set all the Carters back. It took all these years to get to zero. In fact, I hated religion, cause here was this Christian. He was preaching on Sundays versus how he was living Monday. Someday I forgive him, cause strangely our division led to multiple religion I study. Muslim, Buddhists, and Christians, and I was running from him, but he was giving me wisdom. See how the universe works? It takes my hurt and helped me find more of myself, skipping the curse. That's called the Red Queen's race. You run this hard just to stay in place. Keep up the pace, baby, keep up the pace. You run this hard just to stay in place. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellence, you gon' let them see. Legacy, 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 legacy. Black excellency, baby, let them see.
That was nice.
I thought that was a good way to introduce. Yes, that was the GOAT, Jay-Z.
Yep.
And that
Legacy.
Was from his 444 album. Yep, which is one of the most. I don't understand why. Like, I understand people got an issue. There's a lot of things that he said, like when he said about holding the money to your ear. We don't call that money over here. Like, people didn't get it, and people got offended because that's what a lot of people do. But nobody said, like, there were so many messages in that album. It's ridiculous how many messages. Like, every single song was gold. Every single song had something that would benefit the Black community. But sometimes when we see things that, you know, could benefit us, it's fear that makes us reject it, because it's like, okay, if we become successful, then what happens? I think that and Candace, you probably know a lot about this too, with doing, you know, the whole the mind stuff having to do with counseling and things like that. A lot of times people fear being successful. And I haven't yet been able to pinpoint why, but I know that that's something that people fear is success. You won't do it because you fear being successful. But I don't know if it's because you fear failure or if you fear success. Like, it's a heavy burden to be successful and to be good and to be amazing. Like, you really, like, you start to have imposter syndrome and you start to, you know, your brain will always tell you, you think you're good? You ain't that great. Like, you think you're good. And then, you know, so if you can't hit rock bottom if you're already at rock bottom. And that is definitely something that we as a Black community have taken to heart and adopted as, like, our thing. Like, we don't want to – we want to become successful and we want to have the opportunity, but we won't – like fear is putting us – is freezing us. Like, I don't know. I think,
well,
you know.
Well, you know – our experience.
Something we need to work on.
Well, we need counseling.
Right.
We do need counseling because, you know, when you go back and you really look at and study the history of what African Americans or Africans stolen from Africa that was brought to the United States of America, when you study what they went through, even our successes are miracles as it relates to the human family. Of what we've achieved. It wasn't even a matter of success or failure. It was about pick that cotton. Cure that tobacco. You had no purpose. You could not, or you were forbidden to be able to read, to write, to calculate. Your opinion didn't matter. So that success demands responsibility and accountability. And that was one of the memes that was put up, Paige, about what a hustle is. Accountability and responsibility to your work ethic. That's basically what it is. And when you are successful at what you do, you are held accountable for your success. And you're responsible for your success. And for a people who wonder their worth, you know, Dr. Ray Higgins talks about acceptance, approval, and acknowledgement are three major concepts in humanity: to be accepted, to be acknowledged, and to be approved. But you cannot be accepted, approved, or acknowledged by others if you have not approved yourself, acknowledged yourself, and accepted yourself. And the only way to get those three A's is to know who you are. When I first started in my business back in 1992, I got a sole proprietorship. This Friday, I'm going to do an Instagram Live talking about business. Going to be one of the Panther codes, and we're going to talk about business. And I'm coming from a person that I am not a Claude Anderson or a George Frazier or Dr. Karen Hunter, who is a brilliant economist, brothers and sisters, brilliant economist. I am not there. I have not studied economy that way. I've taught it, but I've not studied it that way. So I'm coming to the community from straight up like where they're coming from.
Yep.
Because when I started my sole proprietorship and my corporation, I didn't know nothing about
that. Was a long time ago.
Yep, 1992. And then 10 years later, I started my for-profit business in 2002, the Per-Unc, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about that. So my message to the community is coming to them like a brother that is very much like you. How can I get my business together? What is it that I have to do? And here's the cornerstone to my story. You must have good books. You have to take care of your books. And you have to be honest. Because I know a lot of people try to cut corners and try to save here and try to save there, but you'll never get an accurate account of your business.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you have, when you talk about how you color-coded, that is the most amazing thing I have ever heard. I've never seen them. But when you describe it, I mean, just, amazing. And it was so in you to be able to put it together that way. I mean, just amazing.
Absolutely.
How you take care of the books that you were responsible for.
That's right. Because in the Board of Ed, I had programs. You know, there were times I was responsible for upwards of $3 million in a program. And I understood that when they come after you, which they did with me, the feds came in on me to audit my books.
Damn.
Jeez. When they come in on you, they are going to ask you for your books. When they audit you in taxes, they ask to see your books. And the color coding went along the rainbow. It went from infrared to ultraviolet.
They couldn't bother you after that.
Well, the thing was is they knew you want to come in on me. You are going to see. I had file folders the same color as the because we had object codes and we had different codes for different things: instructional supplies, office supplies, transportation. Books, everything had their own code, 100, 101, 102, everything had their own code. And so I figured out when I was doing the books, because that's what they told me. They said, when they come after you, they're coming after your books. And a lot of us don't take care of our books. We let things slide, count for certain things. And when I would sit up there, they'd say, well, let me see your transportation. Okay, transportation is code 202. That was green. I had a green pen for everything transportation. I had a green folder for transportation. If it was books, that might have been a 400 code. That was blue. I would have everything was written in blue pen, and it was the blue folder. And when they
Sure. You know, there was a book that you had me. That you gave me, and I had started reading it, and then I had the flood in the house, and the flood destroyed the book. But when you saw the thing that you were coding, did you see the color of them, and that's how you were able to keep track of it?
It was from 100. What I did was from the very beginning, I started with red because that's where the rainbow starts. And if it was a 100 code, it would be red.
Oh.
If it was a 200 code.
Oh, okay.
It would be orange. If it was the 300 code, it would be yellow. I did it by numbers. So if I knew transportation was a 400 code, I knew that that would be blue. Because that's the fourth color. And so that's how I did it. I did it by numbers. So I just knew. And then, supplies was one code, 100. Transportation was one code. Books was one code. So they didn't go through all of the colors. And I even had a black code. I had a black folder. And because when they would go through all my things, they would see that there was still a folder left. And they said, well, what's the black folder for? I said, that's all the totals. And they looked at each other, and they looked at me.
Wow.
When they come after you, they come after your books. I save all my receipts on my business. I just finished doing taxes the other day. And everything is on a piece of paper with all of the totals in. I number every receipt. Yeah, it take a little time. But in the long run, if they audit my work, I'll go in there and they won't, they will not play. They will understand. Now, they may find, you know, some calculation errors. It's possible. But it's not going to be much. Because I have your mother check all my work. She the accountant in the family.
Oh, she checks
everything.
She says
good.
When you finish,
you know,
I want to say
else about your mother.
What you said, that's important.
Your mother does not like using the calculator. She says she does it better in her head.
She's a genius.
It's in his head. That's what Caress said. I say, Caress, where'd that idea come from? He said, I don't know. It was just in my head.
Yep, and he's been saying that since he could talk. And I'm like, there's no way. I said, you heard somebody say that. There's no way that you figured that out on your own. But where did he get it from? Where did he get it? And he's been saying that since he could talk. And I'm just sir, that is way too, like that's so advanced for someone that's not even double digits yet. And he's been saying that forever.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is that is in his head. Remember, I always tell people everything that every bit of knowledge that has ever existed, exists, or will ever exist, you were born with that information in your head.
Story that you told about the room that is dark. It's like when you turn the light on, did everything appear or was it already there? The room was just dark and you couldn't see it, but it was always there.
That's right. That's right. And that's why I always ask questions.
Yeah. I just want to say something to what you said, because I really feel like that's really important. I have been in finance since 2007, almost nearly right out of college, and I could never understand why I was there, because it's just like I hated sales. I hated I felt like I was taking advantage of people. But then I realized, you know, I think it was 2017 when I really began to realize that I was there so that I could explain it to people. And I recently started back up. I don't think I told you, Daddy and Candace. I recently started back up the Wealth Melanated organization that I was working on before, because it's something in me just I think I had started to tell you, Daddy, on one of our Fridays, but I really feel like it's really important now. Now I feel like we kind of have a new slate on getting things done. And what you said is so important, because there's so many Black people that have businesses, but it's not official businesses, because we're not taught business and economics and finance from when we're young. So when we're older, we know that we have the capability to have businesses and making our own money, but we don't understand the foundation of it. So we don't take care of our books, like you said. We don't open businesses. We don't put together business plans, because it's just easier I'll just do this and make some money, and then, you know, I won't tell anybody. I won't put it on my taxes, but I'll do it. But that's not the way to be successful. So I think that what you said is so important, that we have to keep our books in order. We have to learn the foundation of everything. And that was the purpose of what I was doing. I wanted to teach Black people just the basics. Because you know how they say if you know Latin, then you can know almost any word and any action and anything in the world if you know Latin. Because the foundation of everything, or I know that it comes from other places, but the way that Latin is taught, if you know the Latin language, you can figure almost anything out that we do in the world. And that's the most important thing for us to learn when it comes to finance, is the basics. Because if you can learn the basics, you can figure everything else out. And that's why it's so important for us. And that's what I didn't I was on the fence about doing it again and about doing it, period, because I felt like there was so much more that we have to know before we can get into finance. But then I also realized that everybody serves their own purpose. So, you know, it's so important. And, you know, I want to make sure that if I am in finance and I am learning about these things and I know about these things, that I share what I know, because it doesn't make any sense if I know it and if I have the knowledge if I don't share it with other people. So I did start back up. So if anybody, you know, just wants to learn the foundations of finance and wealth, I restarted the group, and I have an Instagram. It's Wealth Melanated. It's Wealth, WEALTH, and I spelled it Melanated, MELANATED. So I started up again, and it's really important that we just start to learn about it. I'm going to talk about a different topic every week, and I'm just going to do basic, fundamental things that we have to learn about finance. I know me and you talk about it, Daddy, all the time, but it's so important for us to learn it. Even if we don't use it, we have to know it so that we don't get taken advantage of. Because a lot of times we don't feel good enough because we don't understand the things that are being thrown at us. Even with stuff that we're watching, you know, with the president getting impeached, quote unquote, like we don't understand the foundation of it. Even with George Floyd, with what happened to him, and we wanted the police officer to get first degree murder, because that's what would have gotten him the most time. But we don't realize that it was a win what he got. I don't remember if it was second or third degree. Just the fact that he was, you know, being tried for that. If we would have tried him for first degree, it would have been lost immediately, because nobody can prove that he woke up that morning intending to kill George Floyd. And he might not have woke up intending. But if we would have gotten him on first degree, he would have gotten off immediately. So I think that one of the most important things, just like you said, is that we have to understand books and we have to learn the most basic information. We don't need to be experts at everything. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. We have to understand, like what started the conversation was what happened with Reddit and the stock market and GameStop and AMC and Robinhood. But So, like, just knowing the foundation of why that happened, we can figure anything. Like, even with that, I didn't understand what was going on. I really wanted to understand that particular situation, but because I know basics about the stock market, I was talking to you about it. That Friday that we were together, I was talking to you about it, and then when I did more research, I realized that I was correct in my thought because I knew the basics of the stock market and a bear market and a bull market. Like, I know the basics of it. So it's really important for us to know the basics.
You know what's so interesting? It even goes, you know, beyond what's going on with, like, the stock market and everything. Like, the reason that, you know, I proposed this topic was because, you know, it was so interesting. I was talking to one of my friends, and we were talking about, like, investing. And then you know, hubby is, like, super into investing. Like, he wakes up every day and he motivates all of his friends to, like, wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and figure out, you know, how to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as a Black people, as an African-American people, as you know, whatever you identify with, it's not necessarily in our experience that we've been sort of open to this. It's more of a new phenomenon. And, you know, as opposed to individuals who have been born to understand what the stock market is and how to use it and, you know, what to do with it, this is a very new phenomenon for individuals within our culture to understand, get a grasp of first and foremost, and be able to move forward.
Yep.
So, you know, it's very important to talk about this, because this is sort of the opening, like the fact that it was all over the news, all over social media, all over everything about, like, Robinhood and, you know, the different stocks like GameStop and things like that. Like, it opens that ability for you to ask the questions and have these sort of conversations.
Yep.
And even at a young age, like, Christian, Sasha, your son is already investing. I'm very impressed by his portfolio.
Yep.
And it's important
and he
to start them
himself
at such a young It's super important because, you know, because we didn't grow up necessarily understanding the concepts and understanding,
right.
you know, what should we invest in? How to even invest? What is a stock? What is a bond? You know,
and
where
to not
does it
fear
from?
It.
Where does the money go? And exactly,
yeah.
and not to fear it. So it's more so things that are within our culture that were not instilled in us, not because it was, you know, kept from us, but because it just wasn't necessarily in our realm unless you were within
that
culture.
Because we were trying to do the best we could.
Yeah,
we were trying to do the best we could.
But now it's important for us to realize that we can do everything and anything that everybody else is doing, and we shouldn't feel as though that's not our forte. You know that, and it starts
right.
all with the psychological. Like when you look
right.
at things, like Daddy, you said earlier, the only time you failed is if you've never tried, and in your mind you don't think that you will ever be able to. That's the
right.
only time you fail. Because if you don't fail,
right.
you learn, and you keep getting up, and you keep trying, and you keep doing. Those are the successful people out there are those that have the battle scars. They've been through it. It doesn't come easy. Nothing worth having,
right.
you know, is not worth working that much harder for. And when things are given to you, you don't appreciate them as much as if you
mm-hmm.
worked your whole life for it and put your all into it. Nothing
yep.
that you are just handed, you can appreciate. Like, even when we were growing up and, you know, we worked and, you know, we gave back to the house, quote unquote, 30% of our check. And,
30%.
You know, it felt different because as a child, you're like, oh, no, this is mine. You're not fully understanding or grasping the concept. But what Daddy was instilling in us is that, when you get your paycheck, you're not going to get 100% to be able to spend on whatever you want. Like, you're going to have to pay bills. You're going to have to pay your rent. You're going to have to pay your car note if you have that, insurance, you know, groceries. Like, not everything is going to be yours. So you have to get comfortable with the concept of giving up a percentage of your paycheck. And instilling
yep.
that in us allows us to have that comfort to be able to pay our bills and not expect 100% of our check comes back to us. And it's
yeah,
a realistic
yeah,
concept
yep.
that a lot of people have to do. You know, not only is it contributing back to the family, like this is a family, you know, sort of situation. Daddy ended up giving us back the money, you know, in order to pay for whatever we needed for going forward for the next school year. Not like he's going
mm-hmm.
to spend it on whatever he wants to, but it was more so the exchange and getting comfortable with the concept. And that's what we have to
yes.
teach our children,
yep.
that comfort level of being comfortable with being uncomfortable at times, you know, being comfortable with trying things outside of the box, doing things, you know, being comfortable with understanding the concept of the sky is not the limit. You know, reach for what you want, not what you think you
right.
can get, because then you're just limiting yourself and you're boxing yourself in. And, you know, we have to really start to have these sort of conversations with our kids and give them the background knowledge, and whether or not they choose to go in that direction, whether or not they choose to go into finance, to go into counseling, to go into teaching, you're still giving them options, and you're not sort of limiting them to what you want them to do, and you're just giving them that ability to think for themselves.
Yeah, and we have to instill in them and that they don't like a lot of people are taught that it's about struggle. We also have to, while we're teaching our kids how to be responsible, we also have to teach them, like, Christian, he has a certain amount that he gets every week, as long as he does what he's supposed to do. He has to take part of the money and put it in his charity account, because he donates to charity also, ones that we chose. He also
Aww.
Has to take some of it and put it into his, and put it into his savings account. And when he spends
mm-hmm.
money, he has to put a dollar into his savings account every time he spends money. And if he doesn't have enough to put the dollar, he can't spend the money. And he also has his investment account that if I even try to buy a stock for him, he gets very upset because he likes to do it himself. But in addition to that,
right.
I put money away from him because when he turns 18, I don't want him to have to worry. We don't want him to have to worry when he's 18. We also have to set up our kids so that when they become of age, they're doing okay. They can't, you know, it shouldn't have to be that they base their success on how much they've struggled. We don't want them to be spoiled and not appreciate things. But we also have, you know, we got to make them competitors. It's not only just about academics, because academics is important too. But in order for you to even have a leg in the race of life, they have to be on a level playing field economically as well as academically. It can't just be about academics because, to be honest, I think that education is very important. I still learn as an adult. I think that that's important. But at the end of the day, this world functions on economics and finance. That is how the world works. So if we don't feel good enough financially, it doesn't matter how smart you are because you're not going to get ahead just being academically intelligent. And that's one of the things Black people find it so important for us to be, you know, smart and everything. But we also, we're one of the only cultures that are not in the race economically. We are consumers. That's why they put all of their businesses in Black neighborhoods. If we are not, if we don't have that much money, why are all of their businesses in Black neighborhoods? You don't go to white neighborhoods to see Chinese restaurants. They come here. They come to the hood. They come to places where Black people live. Not just the hood, but any Black neighborhood, you can find 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 Chinese restaurants. On every block, there's a Chinese restaurant. Why do they come to us? If we're consumers, and because we're consumers and we don't contribute financially to the world of finance besides being a consumer, we're always going to get used. Our money is so much more important than everybody else's money because everybody, even businesses that hate us, all of these people, Dior, when Pop Smoke, rest in peace Pop Smoke, when Pop Smoke came out with that song, Dior made so much money, but they don't want Black people buying their stuff, but they know that Black people will buy it and make the money, but they don't want Black people buying their stuff, but they want Black people buying their stuff because we spend, once we get our tax money back, a lot of people, if you look at even that whole conversation with Saweetie and Quavo when they were talking about the Hermes, I don't know if I'm saying it, Hermes, however you say it. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but when she was talking about that bag, people were having arguments, and there's other people like, I can't even afford that bag. There's people that are not even allowed to buy the bag. You can only buy 2 of those bags a year, and that statement came from people that are allowed, quote-unquote, to buy the Hermes bag. You're only allowed to buy 2 a year. You can, or was it 2 a year? 2 something. You can't even buy it. You can't even go in there and buy 10 bags. No matter how rich you are, you still can't buy a whole bunch of bags. So we don't how significant our money and our spending power is.
That's the mind games that people play. You've only made it if you have an Hermes bag. You've only made it if you run in these kind of circles. You've only made it if you have Jimmy Choo, the Louboutins, or these fancy cars and stuff like that. And it's like we have to focus on not just financially making it, but emotionally making it as well, because you can have billions and millions of dollars in the bank, but you can be horribly scarred mentally and emotionally and still have that sort of body dysmorphia and financial dysmorphia where no matter how much money you make, it will never make you happy. And so,
exactly.
You know, we really have to focus on being financially stable in the way in which we live our lives, because there's also individuals who are very happy and living within in their happiness, but there's a stressor because of finances. So we have to find that happy medium of being financially independent, financially stable, as well as emotionally stable, and appreciate the little things in life, because not everybody wants to earn
that
back.
You
look at somebody, and that's what mommy and daddy always taught us. You look at somebody, they may have, like, their outfit may be like $500,000, but it does not look as good as your $35 outfit that you're rocking.
Your rainbow sundress.
It does not matter what you're wearing, what label you're wearing, that makes you feel good, because at the end of the day, when you look in the mirror, you have to be happy and confident within yourself before any other labels can give that to you. And so what we have to do is really focus on not only giving our kids and the youth, because they don't have to be our kids, those that are around us, those that look up to us, those that we have the ability to touch and to really, you know, mold and help to scope, you know, in ways in which we may have been or we may have wished to have been at that time. And we really have to, we have to be comfortable as adults in our own. And I feel like so many people are sort of scared at the unknown, scared at being successful, scared at failing, scared at not knowing the answer, you know, looking a certain way. But it's like, if you don't try, if you don't look, if you don't do, if you don't say, if you don't ask questions, if you don't do your research, you'll never grow as an individual, and you'll never be able to, just because of your age does not come wisdom. So you have to be able to feel comfortable within yourself as the adult, as the parent, as the mentor, in order for your kids to also feel that comfort and giving them different options. And if both of you are researching at the same time, what are these stocks? What are these bonds? What is Robinhood? You know, what is Bitcoin? What is Litecoin? You know, everything that is developing and that is the future, you know, learn it together. If you don't know the answers, let's look it up together. Let's do this. Let's do that. Make it a family thing. You know, make it, but then, not family in the biological sense, but just family,
right,
in general. Like,
a community.
Make it something, yeah, make it within the community, make it fun. But because we're taught and because we never really had that chance, because when you look at a lot of these jobs that were only available to us as a minority, we had to struggle. So by the time we got home, there was no ability to even have that time to do that research. Because by the time you got home, your kids were already in bed or they were tired. You were mentally tired. So, you know, now that we're given these options and, you know, you got to look at the blessing with the curse of a quarantine and COVID, now you're able to physically be home with your kids. So take advantage of that. Take advantage of the ability to be technological and, you know, just continue to learn and grow as a people.
And that's the point. That's the point and that's why I always say, even if you don't want to participate, finance, you still should know it, because a lot of people don't know it. And that's the reason why so many people get caught up in, you know, wearing these brands and spending your money on these things, because we don't understand finance. We don't understand it. So we think that having an Hermes bag makes you somebody. Understanding how to make your name make money is more important than understanding, than buying the bag itself. Like, how did Hermes become so successful? How did Louis Vuitton become, how did these companies become successful? So that there's nothing wrong with having a Louis bag. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to have an Hermes bag one day, as long as your foundation, and like you said, your emotional stability is present, and your ability to understand that the bag doesn't make you. You, just because you like something, there's people that like to have the finest of everything. There's nothing wrong with having Yeezys. Nothing is wrong with having these things. But if we don't understand the foundation of business and finance, it doesn't matter how many bags you have, because we're never going to be successful as Black people, ever, if we think that having a bag makes you somebody. Having the ability to make you, to become somebody is more important than having the bag itself. Because how did all these companies become so big? How did all these companies have the ability to do these things and they can spend $1 million on a bag and it won't even break their bank account? How did that happen? that's more important to know than which, you know, than buying the next most popular bag. So it is what you said about being emotional, emotionally stable is one of the most important things, because it doesn't mm-hmm. matter how many bags you have if you're not emotionally, financially emotionally stable. Because
yeah.
the money
no,
keeps going,
true.
And we're not making any of it. And that's why that song yeah. that Jay-Z did called Legacy. Legacy is one of the most important things. You're supposed to work for your last name. And that's one of the most important things that circulate for us, because our last, first of all, our last names are not our last names, first of all. And that's why Daddy changed his name. Because our last names were based off of who owned us. Our culture, Puerto Rican, Jamaican, Dominican, Haitian, all of these people fight to be what they are and to speak, oh, French is my language, Spanish is my language, British, English. We're fighting to embrace the culture, but the culture is based on the European cultures that colonized black people. It's not based on our actual culture. So we're basing everything that we believe is good based off of somebody else instead of working for ourselves. When we work for our last name, we're working for someone that owned us. There's people that the businesses, a lot of these businesses that are still in business now are from slaves that could not patent their own designs. So they had to get their slave master to do it for them, and they became millionaires and passed it down to their kids, and we have nothing. Jack Daniels, the legacy of Jack Daniels is from a slave from West Africa that knew how to do whiskey in a special way. I think it was West Africa. I can't remember, so don't quote me on it. But it was somewhere in Africa that his name was Uncle Nearest. And Jack Daniels, the way that Jack Daniels was made is based on an African that was enslaved by white people. So the way that we function to make everybody else happy and to make everybody else successful and don't make ourselves successful.
And, you know, I was just going to say, you know, we're discussing this, you know, just as a concept. There are individuals who are doing exactly the right thing and doing, you know, exactly
uh-huh.
what we're discussing. We're talking about individuals who could, you know, where there's room for improvement, and there's room for improvement for everybody. But, you know, we really have to allow ourselves to grow as individuals. And first and foremost, step one is to recognize that there needs to be a change. And the next steps that follow are coming up with a game plan. And if that is, you know, for an hour a day at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day or the middle of the day, talking with the family about different things that may come up, you know, within the community and, you know, ways in which they can work together and just discuss different things and come up with different concepts and, you know, just get the kids' minds going, continue to keep them thriving and going and thinking, because if not, then the youth that we knew will no longer exist. It'll be like a new normal. And, you know, we always, all of us as adults, have to also keep our minds going.
Exactly. And we have to learn, and we have the opportunity to learn now. We can no longer use excuses, because you can, there's platforms like Stash. I don't know if anybody wants to use Robinhood, but there's Stash. You can do Fidelity. There's so many different ways that we can invest, and we can invest $10, $20. So I understand that a lot of us don't have the money that we would like to have. But there's a point where we have to say, okay, even if it's $5 a week or every 2 weeks that we put away somewhere, whether it's an investment, whether it's savings, I prefer investments over savings, because investments make money and savings just sit there, and the banks are able to use that to give loans to other people. So I prefer, you know, I have a savings, but I prefer investments, because investments make you money as opposed to making business, because savings accounts are, the reason why you earn interest on savings accounts is because the banks and the government sometimes is using your money to loan out to businesses that are established. So a lot of us don't know that. And some of us don't even want to put money in the bank because we want to put it on the mattress. We cannot be, I don't care what type of black person you are. I don't care what organization you're part of. I don't care if it's ADOS, FBA. I don't care if you're just an African-American. I don't care if you're a sovereign. Well, sovereign citizens have their own thought process. I don't care what you believe in. We can't want to participate and want all of these things in America if we aren't willing to participate within our own community. If we want to make a difference in our community, we have to learn and we have to participate. Whether you like America or not, whether you want to be here or not, whether you say that, oh, we wouldn't be here if we weren't brought over here. If you're here and you want the ability to make a better life for your family, we have to start participating in things that will make our communities better. There's no way that we will become successful if we don't participate properly. I don't know how else to say it, because there's so many of us that don't want to participate, but we want rights and we want all these. America doesn't care about our reparations. America doesn't care about our feelings and our morals and the right. America does not care about that. If we go back to the history of why America was started in the first place, America is not going to hold our hand. We look at what's going on with the former president right now. America is not going to hold your hand. And the moment that you're not important anymore, America will turn its back on you. So we need to start taking care of our communities and ourselves. Go ahead, Daddy. We need to start taking care of our communities, ourselves, and realizing what we're capable of doing.
You know, we have a model economic system, and I find that people don't follow it. And I'd like to be able to say this so that I can express certain ideas. Government should be small, and business should be a very important ingredient in the functioning of a country. That's what Republicans tell you.
Right, exactly.
But we have to understand that because of the enslavement of African people and all that you said before about Africans making all these inventions but never getting credit, the idea of horse racing came from black people. That's where you get the term cowboy from. We were the early equestrians in the 1900s. We were the ones that did horse racing. Now, numbers come from a whole nother. Do you know the state of African America if we were able to hold on to that number system and we were the CEOs of Lotto? Do you know where we'd be? Do you know where we'd be if George Washington Carver?
We would run the country.
So the point is this. Government shouldn't run country. Government should really be that agency that education, health care, basic leaders ought to be people who are organizing the communities. And it goes from the local community to the city, to the state, to the national. So business, everybody should be in business for themselves. Every single person should have a business in whatever it is that you do. You should have a business. After the revolution in Haiti, the Haitians developed not just one of the most perfect democracies, better than the United States. Not only did they create a perfect democracy, but they had a perfect economy. How did most people from Haiti make money after the revolution? What did the soldiers do after they put their guns down? They were farmers. They went back to farming. That was their business. And the way the government was set up was that 25% of your income went directly to you. 25% went to the functioning of the government. 50% to business. Not someone else's business. Your business. So that you could develop your business better. Right now, with the tax, like with all this talk about, you know, wanting to give $1,400 to Americans. Now, all of a sudden, there are people out there talking about, oh, no, we don't have enough money for that. But they gave trillions of dollars to big business. They didn't have no problem with the deficit then. Now they got a problem with the deficit because that money is going to Europeans and people that are not, let's say, the everyday people. The business that I am talking about is the money that goes into you perfecting your business, not someone else's. The 50% goes into your stock, not into someone else's. And so you have the 25-25-50 model, which is 25% goes directly to you. That is your money. If you make, let's just say you make $100,000, $25,000 goes to you. $25,000 goes to the government. $1,000 goes to business, your business. And the government can assist you in developing a business that you might want to invest in outside of your own. But you have to have a business. So it goes back to what you said when you said, I'm trying to figure out another way to say it. Well, let me say it like this. Here in the United States of America, if you plan on staying in this country, now, if you plan on moving, that's a whole other thing. But it's kind of hard to spend your life complaining about the conditions you're living in if you ain't doing something about it. I understand the problem, but the solution to the problem is what you're going to do. So here it is. You got to be in it to win it. You got to be in it to win it. You got to be in the economy to be able to win the economy. You can't sit on the sidelines complaining, thinking that your complaint is going to get you something. Like I say about reparations, much respect to everyone fighting for reparations. I support anybody black doing anything black. But I ain't waiting for reparations. These folk don't even want to give up $1,400. You know they had the money when they were telling you we can't give you reparations. You could find money to give to big business. You just didn't want to give it to us, which tells me something about the future. I don't think you plan on giving us that money. And just the fact that they're talking about this $1,400 like it's some type of public assistance and welfare where they gave us more money to rich people.
But they're taxing people on the money that they gave. Like it's not a handout. This is something that is going to be taken
back. But that's what taxes are.
From individuals.
Taxes are.
No, but they're not telling people that. They're not telling people that the $1,200 that they gave initially and then $600 that they gave again is not free money. This is something that you're gonna have to pay for. It's something that it was looped in and sort of halfway told to people, and people don't understand it.
No, and you know, businesses did not have to get taxed on that. Businesses weren't taxed the way citizens were. It's a hustle. And so when you hear people talk about big government, little government, this government from its inception has been so corrupt in its business ethic that the everyday people have to depend on the government for assistance. Not that they want to, they have to, because where else is it going to come from? The government programs, you know, they did this thing about what it costs, what it has cost America over the past 400 years for being racist. We have paid, when I say we, I'm talking about the country as a whole. The United States of America, under the guidance of Europeans, has spent trillions of dollars enslaving people. They didn't make money. They lost money. They had a whole article on how much America lost and how much it continues to lose to this day. This is when you hear people talk about let's go big, because if you go big now, it'll save you from having a catastrophe later economically.
But that's,
this is what we're
that's
facing.
Why the Civil But that's why the Civil War was fought in the first place between the North and the South. It wasn't about freeing. Even Abraham Lincoln himself said that if he could keep slavery and keep the Union, he would. It wasn't about freeing slaves. It was the fact that slaves cost too much money. It cost too much money to have slaves. So they wanted to upgrade the United States. And I'm saying this incorrectly, but that's basically what it was. And, Daddy, I think you have a better way of explaining it. But that's the reason the North and the South didn't fight, because the North felt so bad about slavery and wanted to, I'm sure there were people that did. But the foundation of the war was for money. It wasn't for freeing black people. Abraham Lincoln,
no.
The person that they said was an abolitionist, said he would keep slaves if it would keep the North and the South, and we would be able to move in the direction that we needed to move in. So it wasn't about what you're saying. Go ahead.
What do you hear them saying now? Other states are talking about secession. They want to leave the Union. This is how stupid they are. They couldn't survive. The amount of money that they get from the United States government for their state to survive, if they went on their own and thought they could do it on their own, they would not survive. They're doing it all out of emotion. Even Texas, as big a state as it is, and as much as the income it has, it could never survive if it were, let's say, a country of its own. What keeps all these states going is the money that they get from the people. Taxes. That's just, the way it is. For us as a people, we have to be in it to win it. And solar power is the wealth of the future. And if you just want to start teaching our children, teach them about the sun. Everybody getting tripped over 4G and 5G. I'm talking about Ra-G. The energy of the sun. Ra-G. You get Ra-G. You don't ever have to worry. I just did a interview with a brother the other day that is into electric cars. And he talked about electric cars and what's going on with the electricity and all of that. That's where we have to be about right now. We have to about, and you know what the brother said was very interesting. He said, look, even if the best you can do is to become a janitor in one of these places with solar power and electric cars, get a job as a janitor, an office worker. But just get your foot in the door and learn what's going on. And build your knowledge around that. However you can get into that business, get into it. Even if you go around just emptying ashtrays or garbage cans, get in there. And build your reputation in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We
and
have
learn.
To start thinking strategically. Get out of the emotion. Think strategic.
Yep.
Understand the future and have a 100-year, don't have a 20-year plan, have a 100-year plan, have a plan that's going to come into fruition even after you may be dead.
Yep.
You don't have to plan for what you want, plan for what the people need. Solar power is the future wealth of the planet. You can start by just learning about the sun, learn about the chromosphere, learn about the core of the sun. Learn about sunspots. Learn about what the sun is and understand that it's the nuclear fusion of hydrogen atoms creating helium that brings light and heat energy down to the earth, and that is the energy that makes everything work on our planet.
Wow.
Solar power.
Wow.
Study it. Know it. Our ancestors did. Our ancestors knew more about the sun than we know today because we're still trying to dig into earth. Our ancestors built the pyramids knowing the power of the sun. In fact, there are those that believe that Khufu's pyramid and the entire complex in Giza is nuclear power plants. We see how tall they are, but we don't realize they're as deep as they are tall. They first built the underground before they built the above ground.
Wow.
That's how deep our ancestors were. And then they went around the world and built pyramids all around the world, in Mexico, China, Indonesia, the Philippines, America. In almost every state in the United States, there is a pyramid. There is a pyramid complex in the Bronx, in Prospect Park. Did you know
really?
That? That's
did
right.
Not know that. And the aliens got credit for it all.
but you see, they call the pyramids mounds. So you lose the concept of what they actually are because they use different words, like Monk's Mound in Illinois. I did a presentation on top of that pyramid. I've been there.
Yeah.
There is a book titled Pyramids in America by Umar R. S. Bey, B-E-Y. Pyramids in America. He'll tell you where pyramids are from Alaska to Tierra del Fuego in South America.
Wow.
And then he has a map that shows you where they are visually. We don't know our history. People did that when they were the only humans on the planet. That's our history, family. Solar power is the future wealth of the planet. We will use water power for a while, and we'll use air power, wind power, and we'll use gas, and we'll even hang on to petroleum for a while. But eventually, we're going to go solar. It's clean, it's abundant, and it's Raji. Get that Raji. It'll run Raji. Everything in your house for
but
free.
It's funny because a lot of places are using the solar power. You see those panels everywhere. I know even in Westchester, right up by the Ridge Hill Mall, you pass by there and there's a bunch of solar power. Then even if you go in different communities, you know, not necessarily in New York City, even though it probably is, because a lot of places they do it on top of the buildings, you know, to catch that solar. But there's places that you actually see it. And I was passing by. I'm like, what is that? But it is the you know, they're catching their energy, their everything, their solar power through those panels.
Okay.
And you get a tax write off.
And do you know what color the panels are? They're black, because black attracts and captures the light, heat, and sound energy of the sun. Look at how the solar panels are built. They're black. When there's a snowstorm, the most popular sand is called black sand. Why is black sand? Because the lighter color sands, well, let me tell you what the black sand is. The black sand attracts and captures sunlight, which heats the black sand, which melts the ice. I'm talking science now. This ain't personal. Because the color of that sand is not the color of my skin. I'm brown. I understand the sociological aspects of saying black. But black attracts and captures the light, heat, and sound energy of the sun. Why? Because the sun actually is black, you know. We just see the glow of the gas. But the actual color of the stars is black. They're called nanodiamonds. This is science. This ain't personal. But we're so caught up in the inferiority of black, everything that is bad is black, that we don't understand the reason why we think it's bad is because if we ever knew how good it was, we'd be free yesterday. We all right? We still here?
We still here.
Hello? Oh,
we're
okay,
still
good.
Here.
All right. Oh, yeah,
no,
I was
on
wondering.
That on that note, I mean, you know,
we gotta save something next time.
That's right. Well, just, you know, for me, I would say on my end, just think outside the box. Do something that you don't normally do. Research something that you may not know
100% about. And you know, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what is within your realm of being able to do. And just keep on keeping on, because it ain't over till we win.
Oh, and be a business, man. Be a business, woman.
Man.
I'm not a business.
That's right.
Man, I'm a business, man.
That's right.
There you go.
You can learn a lot from Jay-Z.
No doubt.
All right.
Hotep family.
All right.
See you
well,
next
this
time.
Was a great conversation.
Hotep fam.
See you next time.
Hotep.
If you feel insignificant, you better think again. Better wake up, because you're part of something way bigger. You're part of something way bigger. Not just a speck in the universe, not just some words in a Bible verse. You are the living word. You're part of something way bigger. Bigger than you, bigger than we. Bigger than the picture they framed us to see. But now we see it, and it ain't no secret, no. Understand that truth about that question in your soul. Look up, don't look down, then watch the answers unfold. Life is your birthright, say he's dead in the fine print. Take the pen and rewrite it. Step out your estimate. Step in your essence and know that you're excellent, right? Spirit is teaching, no, I'm not just preaching. I'm taking my own advice. Let mama let you know. Mama's still trying, I can't get no days off. I don't get no days off, truly I'm feeling it. I have to say that thing twice. Trying to be a good wife, still really hard, I can't lie. But I promise you I will fight, so I fight. If you're feeling frustrated, you're thinking I'm jumping it. Forgiveness is key, because we're fighting something way bigger. You never lose, we are winners. I'll be the roots, you be the tree. On the fruit that was given to me. Legacy. We're part of something way bigger. Bigger. You're part of something way bigger. Bigger than you, bigger than we. Bigger than the picture they framed us to see. Legacy. You're part of something way bigger. Let love be the water I pour into you and you pour it to me. There ain't no drought here, blooming throughout actual power. I'll be a sanctuary, you just don't know yet. You just don't know yet. No matter how hard it gets, you got my blood in you. You're gonna run. Legacy, we're part of something way bigger.